ground. We are standing on holy ground, and I know that there are angels all around. So let us praise Him. Yes, Jesus, now, for we are standing in God's presence on holy ground. Yes, we are standing on holy ground, and I know that there are angels all around. Oh, so let us praise Him, Lord Jesus, now, for we are standing in God's presence on holy ground.
Amen. Amen.
Thankful to be here.
Yes.
Amen.
You know, let's go ahead and get announcements out of the way. We got music practice Thursday, and we got the sign-up sheet back there for July 8th, the Wilds. Church said they'll pay half the price for each ticket, $23. So, first come, first serve, just get signed up back there. Let me find another song here.
Lord, I need You now more than I ever have before. Lord, I need You today before I walk out the door. And I don't want to leave this place the same way I came. Before I leave, Lord, I need a change. Sing it again. Oh, Lord, I need You now more than I ever have before. Lord, I need You today before I walk out the door. And I don't want to leave this place the same way I came. Before I leave, Lord, I need a change. Lord, I need You now more than I ever had before. Lord, I need You today before I walk out the door. And I don't want to leave this place the same way I came. before I leave. Lord, I need a change. Lord, I need you now.
More than I ever have before. And Lord, I need you today before I walk out the door.
And I don't want to leave this place the same way I
before I leave. Lord, I need a change.
Go ahead, sis.
Amen. I just want to say, you know, it's been revealed to me that when we sang that first song, Standing on Holy Ground, I consider the church, yes, holy ground, everywhere we go, holy ground, because it is in us. We are the Word, and the Word is the holy ground. And I just thank God for that revelation, you know, that everything I look at is the Word, you know. I mean, that's just what we live for, and it's just what we are. I just thank God for the Word.
Amen, amen,
amen.
Amen.
I just want to thank God for the body and for being able to come here and hear the Word. We had the sisters' brunch, and I was really keyed up about it because I'd never been to anything like that in my whole life. Amen. And I cried the whole way down there. And when I got there, the sisters were talking to me and trying to help me through it because I didn't feel good enough to go. And the devil was talking to me the whole way, telling me, You shouldn't be there and try to do your Sunday best when you're barely, you know, it looks like from external appearances you're barely making it. Why would you want to go and sully them good sisters like that? But, you know, I went, and God showed me his grace. Amen. He showed me his mercy. He gave me correction, but it was all out of love. And it's something that even though I've been here for a few years now, it still amazes me how God's love feels when it comes to me. And it wasn't something that, you know, anybody could fix. It was just an experience I'd never had, and I didn't know how to prepare. And instead of just relaxing in the Lord and trusting him to provide everything, and just, I was worked up, and I let my flesh, you know, make me cry a lot. And I would just want to be thankful. I am thankful for the sisters that were there to support me and for the ability to hear the Word and understand these things like virtuous woman. Because those are tools that I can use, that we can use as sisters to help make our part of the body stronger. And I'm blessed to be a part of that.
Amen. Let's sing The More That I Surrender. Same key of F. Go ahead.
Just a quick thing. I wanted to be sensitive. We went to see Judy, and she asked us to thank the body for the prayers, and she's doing so good, and God bless the surgery, and she was up and walking for the first time in a month, and she said she can feel her toes, and I just wanted to thank God for that, and thank God for being here, and just thankful.
Amen.
The more that I surrender, the lighter my load, the more that I release my cares, the more you take control.
The more that I can humble
Appreciate a clear understanding on making sure you drive your stake and how important that really is. I remember back in 92, I was standing right there, and I took it seriously. I drove my stake. I wasn't going to leave this place. But I've also noticed over the years that everyone who did not take that seriously has already drifted off.
That's right.
Right.
They drifted off because they didn't drive their stake, or they pulled it up, put it down, pulled it. You can't stay on that. You have to drive your stake. Make your commitment to this word. And stand by it. He's the pastor in the ministry has been saying that for a little while now. So make sure you're not the one guilty of that, because I don't want to see any of you guys floating off somewhere else. Drive your stake.
Amen.
Say, this is the most important place in the world to me, because this is. This takes priority over everything in my life, and I'm happy to still be here, and that the Lord has taken care of me all these years to allow me to still be here.
Amen. Let's sing Falling in Love with Him, page 126. I'll go ahead.
Just wanted to just thank God, you know, for being here. There's no place I'd rather be. This place is everything to me. And, you know, while I was sitting back there, I just thought about a scripture, you know, just a scripture we've all heard before. But I just wanted to share this because, man, I think about that oneness. You know, this is a body ministry. And what I was looking at here is Ephesians 4:4. There's one body, one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. All of us have a calling.
That's right.
And all of us have to be in one mind. It was one mind when it was in the upper room. And as long as each of us have our own agenda, or we all have our own type of thinking or way, you got to die to that. You got to drop that and pick this up and use this. This is what you think with. This is what you move with. This is what you do everything with. And outside of that, there is no life. So I just wanted to share that.
Amen. Amen.
I keep falling in love with Him over and over and over and over again. I keep falling in love with Him over and over and over and over again. He gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Oh, what a love between my Lord and I keep falling in love with Him over and over and over and over again. I keep falling in love with Him over and over and over and over again. I keep falling in
Him over and over and over and over again. He gets go by. Oh, what a love between my Lord and I. I keep falling in love with Him over and over and over and over.
We'll sing that one more time. Somebody go get the young people.
I keep falling in love with Him over and over and over and over again. I keep falling in love with Him over and over and over and over again. He gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Oh, what a love between my Lord and I. I keep falling in love with Him over and over and over and over again.
I'm going to have the young people sing. Come on up, guys. I know they've been preparing, practicing, and all that kind of stuff. Brother Jeremiah, you take it away here for me, sir. Stand up here. What song are you guys singing?
Give Him glory. Right, man. You're going to need a mic, too. But I'll hold this.
Here you go, John.
Here you go. Sing on that.
to do something, we're going to do it right.
Amen. Amen.
We'll pass out these words here.
Yeah.
God's been good to us.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
He's worthy of our praise.
Yes. Amen.
Yes, he is.
And I want these kids to sing with all their heart. This is a good song here.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
Jonathan and Levi, first.
Glory, glory.
Beautiful. I appreciate that. Appreciate the young people, all their hard work they put in this, getting stuff prepared, getting things together. We'll sing one more and I'll be ready. We're going to sing Jesus Lord to Me. It's the key of F.
Jesus, Jesus, Lord, to me, Master, Savior, Prince of Peace. Jesus, Lord, to me.
Y'all can help me sing it. Hallelujah.
Jesus, Jesus, Lord, to me, Master, Savior, Prince of Peace, Ruler of my heart today, Jesus, Lord, to me.
Let's sing it one more time.
Jesus, Jesus, Lord, to me, Master, Savior, Prince of Peace, Ruler of my heart today, Jesus, Lord, to me.
Let's bow our heads. Lord Jesus, thank you for this opportunity to get together. Thank you for the testimonies. Thank you for answering prayers, Lord. Lord, bless Sister Judy as she recovers. Bless the Brinkmans. Bless Sister Kara and the baby, Lord. Lord, bless Sister Anna. I want her eyes to be opened on this side. Lord, bless the prayer requests in the body. Bless those that are traveling. Bless Pastor Moore's service as he preaches to Little Bethlehem. Lord, bless our service here in Fairborn as we stay right with the word and stay right with what you brought. Lord, remove any type of distractions from the hearer or the speaker. Move it all out of the way so that we can just come here and worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, bless the remainder of the service as we open the word. And you know what we're waiting on. You've come in the testimonies. You've come in the songs. But we come here for the word, Lord. Lord, bless the services. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Appreciated the young people singing. Thank you, Brother Jeremiah, for getting that. Beautiful. Some great pictures. Pictures and videos and stuff like that. It's always good. You're always proud of your kids when they do something. So, and like Brother Jeremiah said, I'm identified with the whole body. So even if you didn't have a kid up there, you had a kid up there. So you should have been taking the videos and pictures like I was taking videos and pictures. Because those are our kids. That's the church of tomorrow. That's, you know, you see them going back into Sunday school. They're getting their foundation laid. They're getting all the right things and the right teaching, and they're getting that world washed off of them and getting ready for service so they can come out here and be a live voice and listen in. You know, even Brother Branham said, you know, a crying baby can mess up the next service. So it's important to get it right, you know, so it's important to be mindful of what God's doing in the service, and, you know, not disobedience can mess you up all the way through. So I appreciate what God's doing here. You know, Pastor Moore and Brother Jeremiah, they were preaching, and in my mind, I'm calling it the Builder Series. And we can call it whatever you want, but it's the Builder Series to me, because, you know, they're preaching on different things, building of God's house and build your house right. And Brother Jeremiah preached on Wednesday night, just a beautiful message. And, you know, he got that from Pastor Moore's beautiful message. And I thought, my goodness, you know, when you're talking about, you know, even that Builder Series, it makes me think about Lowe's and Home Depot. And I'll get started here, but it just makes me think about Lowe's and Home Depot, you know, because there's one section of those stores that's for the DIYers, like, you go in there, you go off to the left at Lowe's, so to speak. It's for people that are just trying to figure it out, you know. Maybe you don't know what the stud is. Maybe you don't know a 16 off center. Maybe you don't know this. Maybe you don't know all these things. You don't know how to mud. You don't know how to do all this kind of stuff. You go off to the DIYers and you figure it out. Watch a YouTube video. On the right side is the commercial grade. You know, that's where the people, construction, the pros. where they know where it is. You know, even the loading dock's different. How they load, they're not helping you get a lawnmower. They're helping you take, you know, 70 pieces of drywall, trusses, and all that kind of stuff. But I thought about that. I thought, you know, when God builds something right, it's not a DIY project. God's not putting this together, hoping it makes sense, hoping it fits this, hoping it fits that. We're dealing with a master builder here. And then when you got a master builder, you're talking about somebody that's an architect, somebody that sees all of it. Matter of fact, God sees it so much that he sees the end from the beginning. You know, he's got a vision. You know, Brother Ted, Brother Brandon, Brother Don, Brother Doug, anybody that's ever dealt with a blueprint, Brother Caleb, he's doing his house. You deal with a blueprint, it shows you what the end looks like. I don't get the blueprint to see what a stud looks like. I want the blueprint to see what the end looks like. That's what God sees, the end from the beginning. So all these pieces have to form together, come together to make what he's already saw at the end. You know, and I thought, my goodness, it's great to talk about that builder series, because what it does, it should let you know that God thought all this out. You know, he's not making this up as we go. You know, I did projects at my house, and I did do little things, and I'd want to put this somewhere and put that somewhere. And then I get there, and I'm like, well, that doesn't work. That doesn't work there. Maybe I should move it over here. I got a little hot tub or whatever, and I thought, man, I put it right here. And I had them come and run electric for it, and I put it in there, and I thought, that don't look right. That's not the right thing. Now you got to unhook that, unhook this. And that's me, because I'm not like God. I'm not a master planner when it comes to that. Amen. He saw the end from the beginning. He didn't change one part about it. Amen. He saw me from the end, from the beginning. He saw what I'd look like right now. He didn't want to change one part of it. Amen. He saw what the bride would look like at the end. Didn't want to change one part of it. Didn't want to add anything to it. Didn't want to take anything away from what he saw already from the beginning. Amen. Oh, my. See, I want to start off with a quote. If y'all don't mind, I know we start off with scriptures a lot, but I'm going to start off with a quote this morning. And this is Brother Branham and Things That Are To Be. I even love the title. Things That Are To Be. You know, God's talking about what he sees already. And even Brother Branham says that. I love that like this. Amen. So let's read over here in Things That Are To Be, paragraph 25. It says, your birth here was pre-planned. Yeah. I guess you believe that. Every one of you knows that our birth was pre-planned. Did you know that your being here never originated just a myth or a thought? Right. Everything was all pre-planned by God before the foundation of the world that you would be here. Right. The infinite God knoweth. And to be infinite, he had to know every flea. This is where Brother Jeremiah gets that quote from. He says he had to know every flea that would be in the earth and how many times it would bat its eyes. Amen. That's infinite, see? Our little minds, I cannot fathom what infinite means. That infinite God, he knowed all things, therefore is nothing out of cater. I love that nothing's out of cater. I love that God has built this thing in such a way that he's got us right where we need to be. Matter of fact, even Brother Jeremiah was talking about how we're positionally placed in the body. You couldn't put the headship on the arms. You couldn't put the headship on the kneecap. You know, I'm the headship to the body. The last moving part was the eyes. I don't have to do any moving right now. This is headship to the body. We tell everything else what to do. And it only makes sense when you understand what's going on. You know, see, when you don't have it right, you don't even know where the load-bearing walls are.
Come on.
Now, I'll get off of that type here in a little bit, but when you're just trying to figure things out, you don't know what's really holding you up. Right. When you're just trying to figure things out, you don't know really where your foundation is. God even knows so much on the foundation, he even knows where you need to build it. Right. He said, don't build this on sand. Don't build this on something like that. Build it on the rock of the revelation that will stand against all elements.
Amen.
Oh, my. See, God is God uses each person as a tool to build what he's trying to do, to build his body, get things together and do what he's trying to do. And I love that God's doing that. See, I see God moving in nature. I see him moving in the body. And Brother Jeremiah, as you were preaching that, it just made me see that even when God was talking about what he needed to do, he said, except the corner wheat falleth in the ground to lay that foundation. You know, so sometimes when you look at a blueprint, it shows beneath the ground. It'll show 4 feet under the ground. So that way, that's where you got to put the concrete. Why do you got to do it that way, Brother Jay? So that way it can hold up the weight.
Amen.
That way it can hold up what's going on. So if some people look at that and go, well, I'll just do it 2 feet, 1 feet. No. You got to do what the architect says.
Right.
If it says it's got to go in to be able to come out, that's what's got to happen.
Right.
Because he's building a body. He said this thing needs to be able to stand on its own 2 feet.
Amen.
He said, except the corner wheat fall in the ground, it will abide alone. The job that we have to do, you can't do by yourself.
Amen.
You need a bride body to be able to do this. And to be able to get that body perfect, God had to build it through each age. And why did this body have to be perfect? Why did that master builder have to build this body perfect? He said, I need a body, I need a bride that cannot fail.
Amen.
Oh, see, when he built Eve had things in her that could fail.
Right.
When he built Eve, he plumbed her so she could fall. But he said it would be impossible to deceive the very elect in this hour because she was built right. Now, that doesn't mean God built Eve wrong. It was part of his plan. He wanted to do that for the redemption story. But when he built this Eve, this bride, we're predestinated not to fall. Why can you do that? Because it's God all in all. We're built with all the right tools. I'm plumbed to make it. He saw me before the foundation of the world, finished my course. God sees me as a finished work. You know, Brother Branham over there, and he was preaching a message, and he was talking about how Michelangelo, and you guys probably remember this story. Brother Branham was talking about how Michelangelo built a statue of Moses. And Michelangelo built that statue so much that when you're a good artist, you see the end before the beginning. When you're a good artist, you can get a blank piece of paper and you can see a zebra on that blank piece of paper, and it's almost like tracing it. That's the good artists, you know, Sister Clarice's of the world. This is almost like they're just tracing it on a blank piece of paper. They can see that picture so good. Michelangelo was a good artist. And he saw Moses so clear in his head that when he sculpted it out, he saw that image so clear to what he saw in his head that he struck it on the knee and said, "Speak." Brother Branham said that's what made that the masterpiece, because he saw that image so clearly in his mind, manifested in front of him, that he said, it's got to be able to speak. It's so real. God so sees me as real now that he built this body all through the ages. He's saying, bride, it's your turn to speak. You're my masterpiece. Oh, my. He's smacking us on the butt like you do a baby and say, speak. I've been envisioning this for a long time. I've been building this through the ages for a long time. You've got everything you need to be able to speak the word and call the dead forth. Amen. That's what God's doing. When you build it right like that, you've got a masterpiece that is predestinated not to fail. Oh, God built this body right. Oh, my. You know, and I think about that, even Brother Jeremiah, you're talking about that. You said, this body, that body, and that body. I looked at that and I said, my goodness, it's good to get things in the right order. It's good to get things in the right order. And Brother Jeremiah, you mentioned it. You said, seek ye first the kingdom. He said, seek ye first and all these other things will be added to you. He said, sometimes you come here because you want your kids to get better. That ain't the right order. Sometimes you come here because you want a peace of mind. That ain't the right order. Sometimes you come here because you want to get your finances in order. That ain't the right order. It says, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and all these other things will be added unto you. Why? Because that gets you the right foundation, Brother Don. Oh, you come in here for a peace of mind. You get a peace of mind on Monday. But guess what? Tuesday roll around. You don't have a peace of mind. You're walking out the church. You come in here for some finances and your job goes good. Oh, everything's fine. But if that's how you build it, if that's your foundation, then guess what? You're beholden to a boss, to a job, to a paycheck, to something that's movable. But when he says, build your house on a rock, the rock of revelation, this thing ain't going to never move. This thing will withstand any type of pressure. You know what? When you're doing some building, and Brother, I think Sister Elise said it, it's got to be able to withstand the elements. Oh, when you put something together, it's got to be able to withstand the elements. And Brother Jeremiah, you're talking about Noah's Ark, how he built that thing just a certain way with a certain wood. Why? So it could withstand the elements. Oh, it wasn't even just regular wood. He didn't say pick any tree. He didn't say get any log. He said you got to get this one. You got to do it this way. You got to build it this way. That's what he did with this body. He didn't just grab any old person. He didn't grab a Steve and a Michael. He said, I need a Paul. I need an Irenaeus. I need a Martin and a Luther. I need a Branham. I need particular people that's going to stay with the word and get this thing done. Oh, but see, I love how Brother Jeremiah even said it. This house, and that house. Because he didn't just put together any old thing. When he put me together, he knew that I would be fashioned to be able to accept the word in this last day. Oh, there's a piece of me that would have picked up Paul. Yes, sure, I'm a believer. There's a piece of me that would have picked up Wesley. Sure, I'm a believer. But there's more to me than just what was there. That was building of the body. I'm the headship to the body. Oh, my. There's a difference. Yeah. I need the full word of God. I have to do it. I have to have the full word of God because of the job that I have to do. Oh, my. You know, your mind can't even be, you can't have one little synapse off in your mind. It's called a stroke. My finger can get loose a little bit. I can do that and be like, oh, man, hurts a little bit. Maybe I do this, do that, and I can adjust. Up here, oh, that's got to be right all the time. I got to have a right mind all the time. I can't have room for anything up there. I can't have room for one misthought, one misdirection. Oh, I can stub a toe here and there and recover. I can't take too many blows to the head. I'm just telling you, just typing out your natural body. Your natural body shows you that that mind is the most important thing. That your natural body shows you that your mind is the most important part of your body. It gets everything going. It gets the heart going. It gets the blood going. It tells this what to do. My mind is working even when I'm sleeping.
That's right.
You know what? That let me sit there on that a little bit. I thought my mind was working even when I'm sleeping. God has been working on me even when I didn't know he was working on me. God was taking care of me when I didn't know he was taking care of me. Oh, when you're sleeping, you know there's some things that your body needs to do. You need to breathe. The blood needs to pump. There needs to be life still generating there. That mind don't get days off. This body don't get days off. You come in here thinking you're going to have days off, you don't get days off. We got a job to do the whole time we're here. My day off is when I get out of here. That's when I get my day off. Oh, it's so much so we get so much caught up in this layout of seeing age, and it's just terrible. You got these equal rights, equal this, equal that. You're not equal. You're not equal. You got a boss. You got somebody that tells you what to do. My soul calls to the rest of my other rims to tell me what to do. It calls to my flesh. It calls to my spirit. It keeps it in line. It leads and guides me into all truth. It gets me to church when I didn't know if I was going to make it to church. It gets me with the body when I didn't think I could make it with the body. It corrects my mind when I don't know what I need. My soul is that correction tower on the inside of me that God built for me. I thank God that it's his own thing.
Amen.
It's God inside of me. I got the master builder on the inside of me. Leading and guiding me into all truth. Oh, my, my, my. See, saints, I think sometimes we forget that God's been building this thing for a long time. And I like to look at it just on the natural side of it. God spent a lot of time building this church. Just the same amount that when I think about how wonderful I was made, that's how wonderful this church was made. He built a church just to my liking. He put brothers and sisters in here to help me along the way that I would need. He knew I would need you.
Amen.
He knew I would need you.
Amen.
He knew in the hour that we're living in that I was going to need some sober-minded people to help me get through this walk to get the word forth. And you want to take that for granted? Nah, you can't do that. Can't agree with that. That body is just as important as this body. And that's the fun. We're just rolling right through it, though. This body is nothing without this body. It's nothing without that body. It's all ties together. God spent a long time building that body. God's been building that body perfect. See, I look at all these things and I go, my, my, my. You know, and you know, we can, you know, Brother Jeremiah said the term. He said, we say it straight. Yeah, we do say it straight in here. Because you need it. You. Come on now, guys. I'm not telling you something you don't know. This world is crazy. Just to get here, you probably heard of 3 mass shootings. You probably had to go over something else. Your family probably did this. And to break up there, there's this and that. Divorce is common. Disrespect is running rampant. You've got all these things. I don't even want to give the Satan credit because it's just the absence of light. But you're now in light.
Amen.
Appreciate the light.
Yeah.
Thank God for the light. Thank God there was, Brother Branham said, thank God there's a man that can turn on the light. You come into a house that has lights.
Yeah.
He ran the wires the right way. Put the lights in the right spot. Oh, this thing is beautiful. You know, when I'm walking in darkness in a dark room, there's uncertainty. There's doubt. There's an unknown. I can't see. I'm groping in darkness. But when I step into light, come on. I walk different when I'm walking in the light. When you're walking in the dark, you know you slow. You're slothful. You're reaching around. You don't want to hurt yourself. You could fall. And then you don't know what you might fall on. You don't know what's here. You don't know what's there. It could be your own house. And you're still like, I know the bed is somewhere. I know the lamp is somewhere.
Right.
Even if you have an image of what it is. Even if you have an image of what this Bible is. You need somebody to turn on the light.
Right.
Or else you can't move there like that.
Yeah.
I can go through the Bible like a thought now.
Yeah.
I can go from Genesis to Revelations to John to Matthew to Corinthians and tell you that God is all in all now.
Right. Right.
Why? I got a man that turned on the light.
Yeah.
When the seals were opened up the door for me to see God's master plan. Where I saw that he just opened up those seals and said, speak, bride.
Yeah.
You now have everything you need. Oh, my, my, my. Don't take it for granted that the seals have been open, church.
Amen.
Don't take it for granted that you know the seals are open. That is one of the best things that ever happened to us.
Yes.
Oh, my, my, my.
Amen.
I'm looking at this different now, Brother Jeremiah. Yeah. I'm looking at this different because, you know, we haven't had to. I told y'all about my house, how I had to move this and move that. That's because I'm not a master builder like God. You know, we haven't had to take one thing back here. We ain't take one doctrine back here. We've been right, 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 right. You know it's something good to say that you've been in the same church for a long time? You know that's a blessing to be able to say I've been right for a long time. I'm not even boasting to myself because the revelation kept me. This word kept me. There's times that I let go and God grabbed me back. There was times that I fell back and God pulled me forward. There was times that I was slacking and God kicked me in the butt and said, come on. But through it all, I'm still here. I'm still standing. Why? Because my foundation is right. Oh, I seek ye first. Everything else can be added to me. What else got added to me, Brother Jay? Understanding, patience, temperance, long-suffering, grace. Those things got added to me. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these other things will be added to you. God built this church right. He put deacons in the right place. Put ministry in the right place. Put brothers in the right place. And I love how I can even look at the different roles differently. I can say, oh, yeah, to the church I may be the backbone. To this church. But there, I'm the headship. That's my place there. I may be the final voice in my home, but I might be the third voice you hear at this church. I know where to put it. I know how to add. I know how to see. I know that combination. See, if you get it wrong, you're messing yourself up. I'm not the backbone to that. I'm not trying to do sanctification here for the body. I'm not trying to do justification for the body. I'm the headship. I'm the final voice to the final age. See, if you know your role, if you know your job, you'll put yourself in the right place. Don't mislocate. Oh, don't misinterpret. I know where I fit. I know where I stand. See, there's people that look at this and go, well, I'm going to do Pentecostal's job. That's not my job. That's not my position. It would look silly for the brain to be carrying groceries. It would look silly for the brain to be closing the door. I need to tell the body what to do. Amen. There's got to be, see, they without us cannot be made perfect. And us without them cannot be made perfect. But I got to know my job. God built us in such a way that we would be able to accept the full word of God. And I want to say this because just on that side of the fence, amen. Brother Branham even said that had they lived long enough, they would have been here. Right. So I'm not taking anything away from what they had. I'm just saying that they did the best they could with the light they had. Right. I should do the best I can with the light I have. God doesn't talk in riddles in here. God doesn't speak confusing terms in here. God breaks it down to get right into your nose hair to let you know what you need to do. Amen. This is not a confusing church. This is not a confusing message. He confounds the wise by making it with the foolishness of preaching. He just brings it so simple that you'd have to be a fool to deny the word of God. Why? Because it's vindicated. Now, when he said a virgin could conceive before Mary had Jesus, you could put your own ideas on it. You could put your own thoughts on it. But when Mary gave birth to Jesus, it was vindicated, manifested word right there in front of your face. All you had to do was accept him as the Christ. Oh, my, my, my. When they said Moses would deliver the children, oh, you could read into it all you wanted. You could do this and that. But God said they're going to get out of there 400 years to the day. To the day, no matter what came in the way, God's word still was fulfilled. Why? Because he starts at the end and goes backwards. I love that. Amen. That's how God does. You know, even when he saw Jonah preaching to the people in Nineveh, he said, Jonah, you're going to preach to the people in Nineveh. The end. Jonah put his own ideas on it. We put our own ideas on it. Jonah ran from Lord. Okay, Jonah. You still preach to the people in Nineveh at the time that he said you would preach to them. He said you would preach to them on this day, at this time. And that's what Jonah did. No matter if he sat in a belly of a fish for 3 days, it was the 3 days he needed because Nineveh was a three-day trip. When Paul got bit by the snake, God had already told him to go to the people. God had already told him that you're going to go prophesy to them. And he got bit. He said, well, I still got a job to do. I got to shake this off and keep going with God's word. God already told me. God said this. Oh, you ain't been sitting in the belly of a fish. You haven't been bit by a snake. And you try to make doing God's job so hard. He's given you every tool, every piece, built you up so perfect to do the job of God right now. It should be easy. Oh, my, my, my. You know, Pastor Moore, he says it right. Headship ain't hard. You make it hard. You make it hard. Oh, I you know what? I see it even myself sometimes. The longer you think about an idea, the more you put your thoughts on that idea. That's just how it works. Don't put your thoughts on it. Take God at his word and just be done with him.
Amen.
Because that's how God sees it. He said, I see you as a finished work. Amen. Take him at his word. God says, I see the end from the beginning. Take him at his word. I just take God at his word that he's coming back. See, the church world, they don't want to take him at his word. So then they start making up times that he came back. Well, maybe he came back at this time. Maybe he's coming here. Maybe he's doing that there. No, 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 no. I don't deal in maybes with my God. I know where my God is at all times. Matter of fact, when the children, when they talked to Moses, he said, God told him, said, tell them the I am. The I am sent you. The always present. See, I don't serve a God that leaves me. I don't serve a God that forsakes me. I don't serve a God that forgot what he was building. If he can look over and know how many times a flea can bat his eyes, guess what? He's looking over me the whole time. He dwells in me. He lives in me. He is me.
Amen.
See, I can break that all the way down. I get that God is my control tower. God is pleased to dwell in this house. God is leading and guiding this house into everything that he wants it to do. Oh, I wasn't built wrong. He don't have to take something back. He don't got to take a piece of me off. He wants my arm. He wants my legs. He wants my mind. He wants my body. He wants all of me. Oh, see, you can't give God 90%. That might be good in school, but God wants 100% or just keep it. Just keep it. If you want to give God 10%, just keep it. You're wasting your time. You're actually doing yourself a disservice when you disrespect God like that. There's a story about Ananias and Sapphira. They could have given whatever they wanted to give.
Yeah.
You know what they did? They lied about what they were given.
Right.
That was the problem. You lied to the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Well, we talk about different things, and Brother Jeremiah, you brought so many straight things. My goodness, you talk about how we still preach being born again. We still preach the rapture. We still preach that men should dress like men. And women should dress like women. We still preach the roles. We still preach that you should be on church on time. We still preach that you should be a part of it. Those are still preached here. If you fall short in those areas, just say you fall short in those areas. Don't try to lie to the Holy Spirit. Even Brother Jeremiah said, even when I was playing in church, I knew you shouldn't be playing in church. Why? Because the word says, I agree with the word quickly. Even if I'm wrong, the spirit, the zeal of the hour is to say I'm wrong. See, everybody wants to be right. I can say I'm wrong. I had it wrong. But guess what? I got it right now. Oh, my, my, my. God wakes me up to the fact that I'm a son and daughter of God. Why is it so important that he wakes you up to that fact? Because God doesn't want to dwell alone. He wants you to know where you're going to be dwelling.
Amen.
Scripture even says, shall I hide anything from my friend? God ain't hid nothing from us. God has been building this body through each age, through each thing. And I saw that and I thought, my goodness. You know, the more we look at it, he already saw this as a finished work. He saw the number of people that were going to be on Noah's Ark when Noah started building it.
Right.
8 souls. He saw that. God saw Jesus slain before the foundation of the world.
Right.
And we put all of our ideas on what God is wanting to do. He caused the word. He prophesies it and then lets it come to pass.
Right.
It must come to pass. See, we do things different than man. We add up to these things. You know, even Brother Jeremiah talked about that equation. We'll add up 1 plus 1 plus 1 plus 1 plus 1 plus to get to the number. God says the number. Everything else has to tie back to it. It has to add up. If you got to say, if somebody's getting in the way of me serving God, minus 1. That's how that works. If a job is getting in the way of me serving God, minus 1. It's still got to add up to that number. Oh, my. See, where are you going with that, Brother Jay? There was a time people thought, oh, if I walk away from the church, that'll hurt them on their tithes. You idiot.
That's right.
That was minus 2 people. God said, I still need tithes paid. Guess you'll get a raise and you'll get a raise. Minus 2 plus 2. Still equals my number. Church still needs this to get the job done. Leave all you want. Walk away all you want. He's obligated to see me through. He's obligated to take care of me. That just means he's got more for me to do. If you drop the ball, I guess what? I guess I got more to do. He's going to give me the strength to get through this. He said, I'm more than able. I'm more than a conqueror. Oh, my. See, And the church world will have you thinking God's work is so heavy. No. He said, my yoke is light. My burden is easy. Easy. It's easy to serve God when you know what it is. I'm not serving God in darkness. God has turned on the lights. We have a master builder here that has taken care of everything. He planned everything. He planned out your grandparents, planned out your great-grandparents. He planned out everything down to the eye color. He planned it all to every detail. And guess what? This is just a shadow. That's why I even love looking at a blueprint. It's just a shadow of what it's going to look like. Right. On the blueprint, it'll just be black and white. Just a shadow of what it looks like. But when you get the house all done, you got the walls painted. Yeah. You got the windows here. You got the furniture there. You got all these other things that you couldn't see in the blueprint. Right. It's still the house, but you got all these other benefits that you didn't even know you were going to get. Yeah. Oh, the reality of it. Yeah. Oh, it's just a good, it's good to see what God's blueprint was that he said he was building up a body. It was good to know that there was going to come life for it. But praise God, I can see it now. Yeah. It's in color now. It's real now. It's manifested to me now. Oh, I can see what it means by brothers and sisters edifying each other in love. I can live it right now. I can see it right now. Oh, I can see the scripture where it says, he says, by this shall all men know that you love one for another. I can see it now. Oh, it was typed out in there, but now I can see it. I know what love looks like. I know what love feels like from the body. Oh, my. I thought it was beautiful to be able to be here. Even Wednesday night, we got to see, and Pastor Moore was talking, and he was talking about even just having grace and applying it the right way. And we even talked about, you know, we had Brother Don Parnell was here. And he got up and he spoke some things. And he said, you know, if I've offended you, I'm sorry. Now, because you've been taught right here for the last however years you've been here, we've been taught that when somebody asks for forgiveness, you just give it to them. That was what you've been taught the whole time. Now, on that day, you could have held on to your own thinking. On that day, you could have thought it was something else. But when you're presented with that opportunity, are you going to believe the word of God or are you not? See, a lot of people have forgiveness until you need to give it. A lot of people have grace until I need it. A lot of people says I'm God until they see me do something that's not godly. What are you going to do then? Are you built? Is your foundation so shaky that the wind from me knocks you over? Is your foundation so shaky that you can't stand when I'm wobbling? Is your foundation so shaky that you're not tied into the body when you see me untied? Oh, no. I'm tied in. I got a wall that's tied in. I'm tied into the body, to the body, to the body. Oh, as for me and my house, it doesn't matter what your house does. I'm still tied in. So if you ask for forgiveness, that doesn't shake my revelation. That doesn't shake my understanding. I can say you need grace just like I need grace. It doesn't matter what the bill is. It goes into the sin of forgetfulness, and we keep moving forward. Why? Because we're here. We must obviously have a job to do. No days off for us. We've got a job to do, and that's a big job. Our job is still the rapture. I will not be satisfied until I wake in his likeness, until I see the complete picture. Oh, when you're building something, oh, it's good to get the walls in. It's good to get the trusses up. It's even good to get the shingles on there. It's good to put some windows. But let's paint some drywall and put some cabinets in a little bit. Let me get to the finishings. Let's get to the finishings now. Let's get to some trim work now. Let's get to some paint now. Let me get to the finishings. This is the finishings now. Hey, Brother Branham said, we're just sitting on the windowsill, just ripening in the sun. These are the finishings now. I'm just adding a little bit of color. A little bit of color in this dark, dark world. God is just adding a little bit of color to us, letting us sit here and enjoy this thing. You know, we have the full word of God right now. We have the full word of God right now, Brother Jim. Brother Lockett, we have 100% truth right now. There's people that sing, when we all get to heaven. I don't got to wait till I get to heaven. There's people that sing, oh, won't it be wonderful there? It's wonderful here. Yeah. I got the full word of God right now. Right. What do you do with the word is your choice. Right. See, that's where free moral agency comes in there. Right. It's your choice what you do with the word. Amen. You can come in here and get instructions so clear on a Wednesday night that you should have had a terrific week.
Amen. Yes.
Amen. Should have been set you on fire. I was so stable in my understanding. I said, my goodness, if I just got up and repeated what he said, that'll turn the church on. Yeah. If I just let you know that we've been right for 10 years, for 20 years, for 30 years, That should turn you on. Right. Oh, I'm not guessing at this thing. I'm not going to a church where I hope they read the scripture right. I'm not going to a church where they're going to put homiletics on it and try to maybe decipher it a little bit and say, maybe let's peradventure and presume what God was doing here. No, I'm not presuming anything. I know what God wanted to do. I got the blueprint clearly open to me. Oh, we're dealing with a master builder. He's not hiding anything from me. See, if you don't even know how to read it, you don't know what the walls are. You don't know what an electrical outlet is. You don't know what the stove is. You don't know what all those pieces are. But when you can clearly see when you see a blueprint so clear, and I remember doing this with our house, I could see it so clear that I could almost smell the cookies in the kitchen. I could see where the stove was placed, and I saw how the island fit, and I was like, oh, I can see how we're going to be sitting there. I can see how we're going to enjoy this. Oh, I could see it, but now I enjoy it. Now it's manifested. Oh, the drawing is cute. The drawing is nice. But I want to sit in a chair with some real cookies. I want to go to the marriage supper with my real saints, my loved ones, my love, all that love me and all that I love. I want to sit with them. Oh, it's great to talk about it, but I still believe for the actuality. See, the church world wants to put it just in spiritual. Just put it somewhere that ain't going to happen. I serve a real God that's taking me to a real place so he can be God all in all.
Amen.
He didn't waste his time building this thing for nothing. Oh, that song says he didn't bring me this far to leave me. He didn't bring me this far to leave me. He brought me all the way through the book of Revelations. And in that book of Revelations, there's another prophecy. See, I love it when God does those prophecies. Amen. He threw that prophecy right there at the end to tell me about what's going on right now. He said, blessed are those that read and understand Amen. The words of this prophecy Amen. Because the time Amen. Is at hand. Oh, my. I can read and understand the words of that prophecy.
Yeah.
And I keep the words therein.
Right.
Oh, see, a lot of people skip over that part, Brother Jeremiah. They don't keep the words therein.
No.
He said, blessed are those that can read and understand the words of the prophecy and keep. And keep, and keep, and keep, and keep.
Amen.
Oh, we keep this thing.
Yes.
Oh, we're obligated to keep this thing. There's people depending on us to keep this thing.
That's right.
What kind of man would I be to let my family down like that?
Right.
Just in the natural. Just in the natural. You know, if you saw somebody and their kids were sitting there starving, and they're eating good. Eating, you know, have you ever seen somebody eat chicken and don't eat all of it? Just throw it off to the side, and then somebody else is sitting there hungry. That person that's hungry, like, man, I'd just take the scraps if you left them. You know, if you don't want the skin, I'll just eat the skin. I just gnaw on the bone a little bit. What kind of father would that be? Sitting there just eating away, wasting, and the kid's hungry. You'd think, this is less of a man. That's terrible, right? That's just in the natural. That's what you'd think. What kind of fool comes in here and wastes the word of God? When you got so many people out there struggling, wishing, hoping, praying, praying for all their heart. These people are sincere. There's people. I was watching that coronation, and some lady said, I came here for 2 days early to watch this king come in there just to show my respect to the royal family. I thought, my goodness, I live around the corner from the church, and I'm late. How am I showing my respect to this royal family?
Amen.
That was a rebuke to me. Yeah. I was like, what in the world? If she could go sit somewhere for 2 days for Prince Charles and he don't even know who she is?
Right.
Come on. See, I'm talking to myself. I ain't even preaching to you. I'm talking to me. I'm saying, how much more respect should I give to the word of God when I know God is here?
Yeah.
I'm not coming here hoping I see him on the balcony. I'm not coming here hoping that he knows my name. I'm not coming here hoping that he remembers me. God knows me. He wants me. He pleased to dwell in me. And if I get 2 services, 3 services, 4 services, 5 opportunities to fellowship with the word of God, take advantage of every single one of them. I've only seen it bless you. I've only seen it bless you. I can say 10 years of blessings, 20 years of blessings, 30 years of blessings of following the word of God, and it's blessed me every single time. Oh, Brother Jay, but my home is a wreck. It's going to probably be a wreck. Seek ye first. Get to the house of God. You can't even hear the word of God at home. I heard that Pastor Moore said, God won't even bless you if you can be here and you listen to it online. Not even the same. Wow.
Amen.
So you're just wasting your time online too.
Amen.
You wasting your time online.
Right.
You wasting your time with your time. You're just wasting time. You're just wasting it. But here's what I love about it. Even when God preaches it straight like that and rebukes me that I can do better. When did you change, Brother Jay?
Right now. Right now.
When did you start getting on time? Right now. When did you start giving your all? Right now. See, I don't even leave room. See, God has built this thing so perfect, I don't got to leave room for Satan at all. I ain't got to leave room for Satan at all. I can say right now. Right in the present tense, God. The same present tense God that I pray to, same present tense God's taking care of me right now. Right now, I have to make a declared statement, and I drive my stake. Don't dig it up and put it back down. Dig it up. You know what that does? That loosens the ground. You ever really drive a stake and put it up, put it back down in that same hole? You can't do it. It won't hold. It's too loose. Oh, I see people do that sometimes. Oh, I'm in. Then I'm out. Then I'm in. Then I'm out. It won't hold. I got to kind of watch you a little bit. You're shaky. You're wobbly. You're in a hole that won't hold you, bub. You need to drive a new stake. You need to drive one in today and say, as for today, me and my house. Oh, make that declaration. Sure. Oh, my, my, my. See, God has been so good to us. We can see his plan now. That's the benefit for us that we have that they didn't have. That's really what I'm getting at, is that we see the master plan of God. We have access to it. Oh, and brother and Pastor Moore read over in 1 Corinthians, he's talking about how God is a master builder. And I thought, my goodness, I mean, there's so many types there that just get me turned on by it. But I mean, there's even things about, like, when you do electricity, you want somebody that's a journeyman. You want somebody that's got a tight. I don't want you and your buddy that just figuring it out. That's a dangerous thing to be touching. That's a dangerous thing to be touching. It got life in them lines. It's got power in them lines. I need somebody who knows how to deal with that. Oh, just coming up here and trying to touch the word. Don't do that. Don't just start touching this. Don't just start coming up here thinking you're going to give me your own ideas. Don't come up here and start preaching to me if you don't know nothing. Don't start. You'll burn the house down. You'll burn your house down. I need somebody who knows what to do with this power. I need somebody who knows what to do with this authority. Oh, my, my, my. As a matter of fact, even when Jesus told that parable about building your house on the rock, he said, so that way it doesn't fall like somebody builds their house on the sand. And he shut the book then, and they looked at him and said, my goodness, this man speaks with authority. He don't speak like the scribes that don't know what it is. He speaks with authority. We're talking about people that speak with authority. We're saying don't build your house on sand. Don't build your house there. Have a firm foundation and build up from it. Don't just keep laying a foundation either. Don't just stay there over and over again. Build up from it. It should be a progressive ministry. If you still only got 1963, you haven't progressed. You're still working on a foundation. It's time to move up the stairs, bub. It's time to put some walls in. It's time to put some trusses on this thing. It should be a completed house now. The bride should be able to stand on her feet now, and the spirit of the bride should be able to say, come. Oh, that's what should happen now. It should be a house that God can move in. As he was building the body, even Brother Branham said he wouldn't take a bride with only one breast. Why? He was saying, I won't take an incomplete bride. I need this house to be finished for me to move into it. Oh, the house is done now. He's united. It's a marriage here and a wedding supper over there. It's oneness now. You were talking about a oneness, Brother Isaiah. It's a oneness now. And when it's a oneness, when you see me, you see the Father. See, we use the type of marriage, and that's just a type. That's just the closest type God could give us to show us how that unity should work. And Satan has made a mockery of marriage, so it messes up everybody when they think about the type. They go, well, you can have divorce. You can fall in and out of love. You can blah, blah. That's garbage. No. Not the way God's doing it. Marriage is just a type of what that oneness should be. When he says a bride, it's just a type of what that oneness should be. It's just in type that he's showing you how close it should really work. When you got a true marriage, that's a better type than somebody that's got a bad marriage. But it's still just the type. When you're talking about anything in your flesh, it's just a temporary type. But we're headed over to eternity. We're going somewhere where it can be God all in all. Oh, my, my, my. See, he couldn't move into a bride that wasn't complete, Brother Don. He couldn't even move into a bride that was by herself. He said, except the corner of wheat fall on the ground, it'll abide alone. But God didn't want to abide alone, Brother Lockett. He didn't want to abide alone. That was just the foundation. He wanted to build a house that he could move into. Something that he could have, what? Fellowship with. Oh, God wanted to talk to himself. He built a bride body that would be, that, you know what I love about that? Is that when God's truly talking to himself, there's no disagreement. No disagreement. He can't deny himself. See, that's what I love about even, you know, hearing about, I'll get the Pastor Moore's testimony, but I remember Brother Danny Franklin. He had been walking with Brother Childers all those years. Said, that man's perfect. I couldn't find one fault in him. That's Brother Danny Franklin. Now, just a little context. Brother Danny Franklin had kids, and Brother Childers told him some different things on how to raise those kids.
Right.
I wasn't in the living room in all those conversations, but I'm sure he got his thinking corrected. Brother Danny Franklin went to this church, and Brother Childers wasn't short on correction. So I'm sure he heard some correction. Brother Danny Franklin was a tenant, and Brother Childers was a landlord. So I'm sure that puts a little bit of a difference on the relationship. I'm just talking about you right now. We got people that have landlords and they don't know how to deal with them. We got people that have bosses that don't know how to deal with them. We got people that give them correction and don't know how to deal with them. I'm just telling you, this man sat under Brother Childers, who in my opinion would be one of the straightest men you could ever meet. One of the most revelated men ever to walk in shoe leather. And for Brother Danny Franklin to say, that man is perfect. Looking at the right thing. Now that's Brother Danny Franklin, who wasn't even a minister. Pastor Moore. Now the load got a little bit higher. That was a weight-bearing wall right now. We're about to get to a weight-bearing wall right here. Pastor Moore worked with Brother Childers. Had to be an employee of under Brother Childers. Had to be a member of the congregation under Brother Childers. Had to be a song leader under Brother Childers. And I'll stop right there on the song leader part. Sometimes he brings it straight, and I'm like, man, okay. That's just for song leaders. You think Brother Childers were letting you get away with preaching something wrong? And Pastor Moore said, never once have I disagreed with that man. That's somebody that knows what they're looking at. Now, I've just given you two examples of people that stayed the course, that did it for years and years and years. And we struggle with a Monday or a Tuesday of leadership telling us what to do on a Wednesday or what to do on a Saturday or what to do on a Sunday. Come on now. You should be stronger than that.
Amen.
You're getting the same word that Brother Danny Franklin ate.
Right.
I'm eating the same word that Brother Danny Franklin ate. I'm eating the same word that Pastor Moore ate. Yeah. I'm eating the same word that Brother Jeremiah ate. Brother Jeremiah was so full of the Word of God, he didn't even look at a note. He said, I can just preach on what I've already been eating. I've been right for a long time. I can just preach with no notes. You should be able to testify with no notes. Sing without just thinking about the goodness of Jesus. You should be able to praise God just for what he's already done.
Amen.
Oh, God has not made this hard. He's built this bride body perfect. That's invincible to withstand anything that Satan throws at it.
Amen.
Oh, I get it. Oh, Brother Jay, you don't know. I got this problem. I got that problem. Seek ye first.
Right.
And God will take care of everything else. That's his blueprint. You got to seek him first. Oh, my. When you get that in order, Brother Jeremiah, everything else lines up to it. Peace comes with it. Understanding comes with it. Revelation comes with it. I see people that go, well, I want to get the revelation first, and then I'll seek him first. Nope. Don't work that way, bub. You won't even get a revelation until you seek him first.
Yeah, that's right.
You need to see God in somebody else before you can even see him in yourself. You see so many people come to the church and they go, I got God. I got God. I got. No, you don't. Or you would recognize him when you see him.
That's right.
But when you really get God, then I can see God. 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 And that's beautiful. But then I can see God in me. That's how this thing works. I can't come in here and say I'm God until I've recognized him as somebody else. It takes a son of man to reveal the son of man. And it can't just stop when I see it in somebody else. It's only a revelation when it comes into you. That's when that house is complete. While I'm watching you build your house, that doesn't do me any good. I'm glad you got your stuff together. I'm glad I see it going on. I'm glad I see God moving in there. But it doesn't do me any good until he moves into me, into my house. Oh, my. And see, I'll throw this on there. It's not of any works. I want to make sure I throw that out there. The church world will hear that and go, well, you got to do this, you got to do that. Simply believe. Simply believe. The evidence of the new birth is recognizing your day in this message with the ability to say amen to every word. That's it. That's the works. And when you start saying amen to every word, it'll start to call to everything it needs to call to. It'll move. Everything it needs to move. It'll adjust. Anything it needs to adjust. I've seen people in the church world go, well, they should dress up this way. They should do that way. Get the word in there. God will dress them how he wants to dress them. God will speak to them how he wants to speak to them. Because when God fixes something, it'll be right. He don't got to keep going back and messing with it. He ain't got to move the gazebo over here and move it over there. He just sets it in place and it's done. When God gets you set right, you're set there, you're done. That's why Pastor Moore don't have to follow a believer. He ain't got to follow a believer home. Why? I know you got the word in you. The word is going to take you to the same place the word takes me, to the house. It's going to get you to the same place it gets me, to the word of God. It says, where the carcass is, that's where the eagles shall be gathered together.
Yes.
Oh, I don't got to send out a GPS location to find out where you're at. All I got to do is simply waffle a little bit of word, and you'll be like, I got to get there. If they're going to be preaching, I want to hear it. If it's going to be some fellowship, I want to be a part of it. Why? Because there's something on the inside of you that God is himself is saying, I cannot deny the word. I need it. Yes. Oh, my. It's a must have, Brother Isaiah. But that's that master builder that did that. He put all those pieces together. He put it in such a way that you can even carry the word. There's people that can't even carry the word. This stuff is too heavy for some people. I start talking about my loved ones, it gets a little too heavy for some people. They go, well, what do you mean the loved ones? Well, how do they get to go? What do they do? No, God said, I believe God. Well, you just trust him? Yes, I believe him. Well, how do you get to go? He said I could go. He said all those that I love. All those that love me. That's what the Bible says. Well, no, I don't know if it's applicable. Well, no. That whole Bible's for me. This is a love story. He's talking about me. You're reading a note that was passed to me. You see those kids that pass notes in class? They probably don't do it now because you got electronics. You probably just email each other. But in my day, you used to fold a note and send it to somebody. And every now and again, the teacher would intercept it. And so sometimes you'd put it in code because you knew it was going to be intercepted. Like, just in case somebody else gets this. I want only the recipient to get it. And that's what they did over in the book of Revelations. Just in case the church world grabs it and starts looking over it, let me let you know when the time is at hand. Just in case somebody else gets in here and they start going through, they'll see words like thunders and lights and seals, and they won't know what's going on. They'll see that, and they won't know what's going on. But guess what, little bride? I can read the code. I know what he's saying to me. This note was written specially for me. I can see myself in every verse. When they talk about the Old Testament saints, I see that myself in those things, and I drive my stake on those examples of how they believe God and how without faith it was impossible to believe God. But I don't just stop there. I understand that faith is a revelation. Amen. And I got a revelation, and I can tie those two terms. I can say, Noah, by revelation, believe God. Right. Oh, by revelation. I can look at myself and say, by revelation, Brother Jay, just believe God. Amen. And that's what pleased him.
Amen.
Oh, my. Because without revelation, it's impossible to please God.
Right.
Oh, and without revelation, it's impossible to read the book of the Bible. And without revelation, it's impossible to even understand a prophet. Without revelation, it's impossible to even come here and listen to the headship that gets preached service after service. Because guess what? You're looking at the wrong thing.
Right.
Without revelation, you see flesh.
Come on.
Without revelation, you'll fall off. No foundation.
Right.
Soon the strong wind blows. It could happen year 4, year 12, year 1, week 1. Don't matter. That's why I like these songs. It says, but I'm like a tree that's planted by the water. I shall not be moved. My roots go deep. When this architect put it, he said, no, you got to go 4 inches deep, bub. You got to go down. I need you to be able to withstand anything. You can see all the way back. I want you to see the plan before. I want you to see what I was doing before. I want you to know who I was before I was God.
Right.
Yeah, I'm going to let you know about Elohim to let you know how my mind works. I'm going to let you know when I wanted to implement my mind. Let me let you know when I really, truly saw you. He said, Job, where were you when the sons and daughters rejoiced for joy? What? How were they rejoicing? He saw it as a finished work. He already saw us rejoicing. He already saw us rejoicing in this thing. He sees us as a finished work. Oh, that takes a master builder, Brother Jeremiah.
Amen.
Somebody that sees the end from the beginning. That when you see that should stabilize you.
Yeah.
When you know you're working with somebody that's got a plan, it should stabilize you.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm terrible at, I like telling on myself. I'm terrible at directions. I am. So if you get in the car with me and I don't have my GPS on, guess what? You better be telling me when to turn left and right.
Right.
That's just me. And I've conceded to that years ago, and I was like, I won't even try to learn them. They got all these GPSs, I'll just use those. That's my crutch. But you get in the car with me, and you see I got the directions up, sit your seat back. Relax. You ain't got to worry about it. I'll tell you when we're going to get there. I can tell you the route we're going. I can tell you how long it's going to take. I can tell you if we want to do a stop. I can tell you if you want to stop and get some food, how we can do it. I can tell you all those things when I got the plan in front of me. You should be able to relax when you're dealing with somebody with the plan. I got the whole plan of God in front of me. Just relax a little bit. I can tell you about the marriage supper. I can tell you about Gog and Magog. I can tell you about the tribulation. I can let you know you won't be in it. Just relax a little bit. Come here, little bride, and just rest. It says comfort one another with these words. Woo! It should be turning us on to be able to get a rest like this. Nobody else gets the rest that we get. We got the full plan of God, so sit back, little bride, and just rest on this thing. Oh, that's the song says. Just rest, little bride. Rest, for all is well. Oh, we can even go over to the book of Romans 8:28. It said, for all things work together. Yeah. Oh, and I even like how he built it. Predestinate. This, that, just. Amen. I love how God did it all. Right. He did this thing so perfect that we can come in here and just rest. If you don't have a rest, that's your fault.
That's right.
That's your fault. You're not believing. You truly are sitting in the car with somebody with the directions. Right. And you're in the back seat trying to drive. Right. How silly you sound. Right? That'd be like Jonathan, me and Jada getting in the car and Jonathan in the back seat just pressing on the brakes. He don't know how to drive, ain't never drove, don't know the roads, don't know the plan, can't read the GPS, constantly hitting the brakes. That's how you look when you come in here 4 years in, 3 years in, 1 week in, trying to tell us what to do, trying to tell us how it's supposed to work, tell me how headship is so hard. I'm like, what are you talking about? This thing is easy.
Amen.
Stop hitting the brakes.
Right.
Let's sit back and ride a little bit. Just relax. Let God lead the way. Oh, my goodness. I look at that, and it's a rebuke to me. Oh, I get rebuked so many. I get rebuked so much. All the time. But it don't make the Word of God wrong.
No.
It don't make the Word of God wrong. I'm wrong.
Yes.
I'm wrong. See, I you know what? Because I like being real with y'all, I like to tell y'all when I'm wrong. Because I've seen that. And maybe I'm too much on one side of it, but I've seen that spirit where people, even Brother Jeremiah mentioned, he said, Don't act like your house so perfect you can't help nobody. He said, you know, Brother Childers told him that. So, but I probably go to the ditch on a little bit. I tell too much of my business. That's all right, though. I'll get corrected on it. But I look at that, and I even, when Brother Jeremiah was preaching, he said, I don't got no professional athletes. I've already set the pace for my family that this is what we're going to do. I looked at that, I was like, ain't nothing but the truth.
Amen.
Now, here the whole time, I got kids that are bouncing around, doing this and doing that at different times that coincide with times of church. And I'm sitting there, and I got to be like, that ain't nothing but the truth. I can't sit there and be like, well, you don't understand. My daughter really needs. We really want. No, no, no. The Word of God says. That's what the Word of God says. What foundation are we going to get? What kind of plan would I be if I came in here and contradicted the Word of God? If I went home and said, well, I heard him say this, but we believe. Nope. Can't be that way.
Amen.
We're just wrong, and we'll get better next time.
Amen.
We're just wrong, and we're going to try to be right the next time. When the next schedule comes out, let's go ahead and write off the Wednesdays and the Sundays. When the next thing comes out, let's make sure it doesn't conflict with church. Why? Because somebody's already giving me the blueprint. Already giving me the map.
Amen.
Already giving me the plan. I already told you, if I don't have a plan, you can start getting worried. But I got somebody giving me the plan.
Amen.
I got somebody giving me the directions. They said, if you want to have a good home, follow this.
Right.
See?
Amen.
See, I like to say it plain. Because sometimes we say it in such a way you think you can leave yourself out.
Come on.
No, you can't. They go, well, I don't have no kids in sports. Okay. Well, what do you do on Sundays and Wednesdays? Are you here 30 minutes early then? How far, Mac, you want me to go? All right. Are you helping out? If you got so much time, why your name money on the cutting the grass list?
Right.
If you ain't got a job, you should be all the months.
Yeah.
You ain't got nothing else to do.
Come on.
I'm just saying, we could go. If you want to fight the Holy Spirit, we can go as far as you want. I can make this as hard as you want to make it. I can make it as tough as you want to get it. But all you got to do is simply say, I'm wrong. The Word of God is right. And that's it. You leave. Then there's no spirits in there. There's no grieving the Holy Spirit in there because you're not lying. See, when you come into the house of God, this is the house of correction. It takes all those lies and straightens them out. It takes all that misthought and straightens it out. We can't have any leaven among us. We can't have anybody that disagrees with the Word at all. That's why we got to preach it so hard.
Amen.
We got to get you out of here if you don't belong.
That's right.
Why? Because you'll sow dissension. That's even what Brother Branham said. He said somebody will get in here and try to sow dissension with one brother or one sister and try to get that poison to spread through the body.
Amen.
You'll try to get my daughter to think that it's okay. Nope, not okay.
Right.
You'll try to get my son to think it's okay. Nope, not okay. You'll try to get my wife to think it's okay. Nope. Not okay. You're trying to get me to think it's okay. Nope, it's not okay. As for me and my house, my house, my house,
amen,
we're going to serve the Lord.
Amen.
Oh, when you start talking like that, you put the devil on notice. You let everybody know what the plan is. Oh, I got the blueprint. This is what it is. Well, I want to dig the hole only 2 feet. No, it says it's got to be 4 feet. Oh, I only want to do. Nope, you got to do what this says. Yep. Why? It takes all your thinking out of it. Because guess what? I already said it. We've been right for a long time. God bless you. Thank you. We've been right for a long time. Amen. You ain't got to redraw this. No, no. You ain't got to redo the Bible. Amen. I don't need a King Bartholomew Bible. I got the King James. I'm all right. I don't need another interpretation of it. You know, that's what they started to do. The Bible was cutting them so much, they just started writing another one. Oh, let's take some of this out of there. The masculine is too strong. Let's make God agnostic. Let's do this. You seen it, Brother AJ? You seen it, right? They just start changing it up. Ah, that sounds a little too hard. Not all of us. He didn't mean those. He didn't mean they. No, no, no. God hates. And God loves. God rebukes. God tests. And those that can't take the rebuke, what does the Bible say? You're a bastard.
That's right.
See?
Amen.
I can't take those words out of here. Blueprint's already been written. The body's already built now. It's too late. Matter of fact, that's what even happened when the seals came. It showed that it was too late for Satan to make any changes.
Right.
It was too late to mess it up. See, we talked about it before. We preached it before. We talked about how when that body was being built, it was potentially a perfect body. It was potential because at any moment, something could mess it up. At any moment, something could stifle the growth. At any moment, something could come make this house fall. But God didn't reveal the plan until he was done. He didn't show the ages as they were going through it. He showed the ages when they were done. So we got a picture of the ages finished. The church want to have you thinking that we're in these ages. We're not. We're in the eighth day. We're out of the ages. He showed us the plan after it was finished. Matter of fact, even the pictures of the ages are of those at the end. The church want to have you think there's some of them going on still. They're not. Pentecostal movement's not going on anymore. That's over. It's the eighth day right now. It's done away with. We stepped into the eighth day. Oh, my, my, my. We stepped into eternity. This body's been built now. Now we're standing on our feet, a full functioning bride, built perfectly by the master builder, being able to say amen to every word. Oh, my, my, my. Who to whom much is given? Much is required. We've been given the full word of God, and our job is to get the debt up. That is your only job. Don't sugarcoat it. Don't put all this other stuff on there. Don't whitewash it. Your job is to get the debt up, period.
Amen.
Pastor Moore said, that's the only thing on your plate.
Thank you, Lord.
Just like he told Jonah when God said, Jonah, you're preaching to the people in Nineveh, period. Period. How that happens, that's how it happens. You want to get rebuked for being late every service? Go ahead. That's fine. That's fine. You want to be slothful in doing this? Fine. You want to keep getting rebuked all the time? Fine. You're still going to get the job done. Because if you're a believer, you're still going to be part of the rapture. Matter of fact, they used to preach and go, well, I wish the last person to get here so we can hurry up and go. I'm not waiting on anybody. The rapture's going on right now.
Amen.
God's not waiting on anybody. I'm already sealed in. I don't care when it starts. In Noah's day, when the door closed, that was it. I don't care if the door stayed closed for 10 days. It was closed. You weren't leaving and you weren't coming in. It's closed. The door's closed. All those that are part of this are already part of it. Already accounted for. See, the church world, have you think God's still out here picking and choosing, running through the field with like a metal detector, hoping that he picks up one there? No, no, no. He's already accounted. It's a finished work. He sees this bride finished. He sees us as complete. Oh, I get it. There may be one person that come in here, one person that come in there. But guess what they come in here and get? Woke up to the fact that they've always been a part of God. That's what they get. They get woke up to the fact. The mind says it's time to wake up. You've been sleeping too long. Let me wake you up to who you already are, a son and daughter of God. Oh, my, my, my. And that seals you into eternal security. That seals you in this body and into that body. That's what seals you, is you wake up to the fact that you've always been a part of God. Not that you were saved on any day. Oh, see, the church world will have you go, oh, well, when I get baptized, that's when you recognize that you need to be repent. That's when you recognize that you need to repent. That's God's eternal. You got a part of God in there that have no beginning and no end.
That's right.
That in one sense, and I don't even clean this up for me, Jeremiah. In one sense, that part that's eternal don't need to be baptized. It's not waiting for you to get baptized to be moving what it needs to do. Matter of fact, the person on the cross, that would be my only my reference. Person on the cross, he didn't get down and get baptized. Jesus said, today, you'll be with me. So it can happen. Now, God's directions is repent and be baptized. That's following that foundation. If you're going to be here, you got to plant some potatoes. Let's do it right. Let's get the foundation right. Let's do what God called you to do. Fulfill Scripture. But I look at all this and I'm like, my goodness, thank God that we can recognize the master plan of God, because there's people that can't see it, that don't want it, don't know where it's at, couldn't hear it if they came in here. But you can. Little Bri, you are blessed among all that can see and hear these words of this prophecy. I mean, I'm just looking at it and I go, what's so big out there that stops you from being able to believe the word of God? Because the scripture says, if God be God, just serve him. Like, what are you holding on to that's gotten you so well off that you don't want to listen to the word of God?
Come on.
Normally when I see it, now I'm just only speaking, I'm only backing my mail from where I'm at. Normally when I see people that are holding on, their life's a wreck. It's just a mess. They don't have no peace. They're unstable. They're waffling on everything. The priorities are messed up. Life is terrible from the outside. And I'm thinking, why are you holding on to that? That's like a hoarder. They hold on to junk that they don't need. They just can't get rid of it. Again, talking for myself, I got stuff in my garage that I will never use. Never. I'm talking never. I couldn't even use it if I wanted to. I got a keyboard that takes a floppy disk. I couldn't use it if I wanted to. There's no way I could use it. But I hold on to it, and it accumulates junk and dust and dirt, and just sits there. And I go, man, I wish I could park my car all the way in there. Well, why are you holding on to this junk? Make some room. Clean it up so you can get in there. You come into church and you hold on to that junk, that same old keyboard that you brought from last service to this service to the next service. Just let it go. Put it out under the seat. Let them take it away when they clean it. Open up so God can give you what you really need. Let him move right on in there. Give him all the room. Give him access to everything. See, we hold on to so much junk, and I'm just using it as a type. Just like we say vanilla ice cream, chocolate ice cream. It's a type. You come in here with your own idea on what love is. You come in here with your own idea on how to parent. You come in here with your own ideas on what it means to be a good employee. Come in here with your own ideas of what it means to be a good Christian. Come in here with your own ideas of what it means to serve God. Just let it all go and pick up what God has given you. He'll bless you so much, you don't even know how good it's going to be.
Amen.
It's so much better than what you got right now if you could only see. Oh, my. That's how Sister Spears can see when I think of where he's brought me from to where I am today. Oh, my. All the junk, all the creeds, all the dogmas, all the traditions that we let go to be free now. Oh, I truly am free.
Amen.
Predestination don't shake me. Legalism don't shake me. Oh, even Brother Jeremiah said it. I'm going to get out down out here. He said, those people that try to say we're legalists, they're legalists. They're the ones that their legalism holds them out of heaven.
Yeah.
Let's look what they're looking at. Their legalism holds them out of heaven.
Right.
And I heard an elder say, you need to have law on somebody until they get a new birth.
Amen.
That's right. I need to hold you something, because you don't have nothing on the inside that's going to hold you. I need to keep you still like a kid. I need to sit you down and tell you to be quiet. But then when you get a new birth, freedom. Tell me what God told you.
Right.
Share with me your experience.
Right.
Truly, now you can testify. Now you are a witness. You're not a witness if it ain't ever happened to you.
Right.
You're not a witness if you didn't see it. I don't even want to hear your opinion on the story if you weren't there when it happened. But that's how we can come in here as believers and say, I know what God's doing because it happened to me.
Right.
Oh, my. That master builder has built us perfect through each age. He built this body perfect. Mine, James Pickens, he built me perfect. I am spotless, without wrinkle, and I'm like a white as the undriven snow for what God wants to use me for. I say yay and amen to every word.
Yes.
This church has been spotless, without wrinkle, without blemish, over and over and over and over again. And that body was spotless and without blemish all through the ages. You guess, you know how I can say that? Because now I got a revelation on it. I used to think it was bad people and dark people.
Yeah.
No. They believed all the word that we were given to them. That's the same thing I do. I believe all the word that's given to me. They believe all the word that's given to them. They didn't deny one word of God. True believers all the way through, which is why Brother Branham could say, had they lived long enough, they'd be right here. Why? Because they would have walked in the light. We're walking in the light. We should move. You should move different when you're walking in the light, saints. Somebody's here that turns on the light. You shouldn't be unstable.
You shouldn't be unstable in anything as you do. When you take a job, thank God. God gave me that job. When you get a kid, thank God. God gave me that kid. You get a car, thank God. God gave me a car. Car messed up. Thank God. God messed up the car. I heard Sister Renee talk about her dad's brakes. Had to get some things fixed. Thank God that happened. It just built her faith. And I thank God for everything that we get here. I thank God that we understand the master plan of God. God bless you, Brother Jeremiah.
Amen. Thank you for that. That was good. God has built this body perfect. And, you know, I was thinking as James was preaching, because he said just about everything he could say, but, you know, here lately as we talked about this, you know, thank God, and today I can look back and say thank God for my feet.
Yeah.
Thank God for my legs.
Yes.
Thank God for my waist, my
right.
shoulders, my mouth, my eyes.
Yeah.
And I liked how Brother Dustin said at one time, you know, if you really look up here, Irenaeus really had more word and light than Luther had. And, you know, in the past, we'd almost want to put down Irenaeus. How could you let the word go in, you know? And it was God's plan the whole time.
Amen.
So thank God that he built this body, that we have everything that we have need of. In the natural, I thank God I got my hands. I thank God I got my feet I can walk with. But in our day and hour, I thank God for headship to the body.
Amen.
Thank God for full light.
Amen.
That means so much, because you were saying there towards the closing, Brother James, you know, in the natural, you walk outside in the dark. There's some days the moon's fully bright, and that can help you see a little bit. Sometimes the moon's not even shining, so it's real dark. And you thank God if you had a candle in your hand. Then you walk a little bit faster if you have a flashlight in your hand, right? But the more light you have, the more stability you have, the better you can walk, you can see clear. Well, do you realize, Church of God, we have full light in this age. I know it's dark up there, because he's been on the outside of church knocking. And he's left, and he's married. But in the evening time, it shall be light.
Amen.
We see where we're going.
Amen.
We can look all the way back and see how God's built the body all the way from the beginning. We can even look all the way back before the beginning and see that he was Elohim and see how he's worked all the way up here.
Yeah.
We can see what's coming. We know where we're going.
Yeah.
But I thank God even right now, I know where I'm at. I know where I'm standing. I know where I'm going. But that's all because the word for the hour has come and we have full light. We're not guessing anymore. We're not hoping. You know, when Jesus was here, he didn't really, he came across with speaking his authority because he knew who he was.
Right.
He really had the full word of God. And that's where we are.
Amen.
That's why sometimes people think we speak too bold. But it's not because we're bold in ourselves. It's because we understand we have the word of God. We see the full picture. You can't convince me anymore I'm not worthy.
Right.
You can't convince me I haven't been justified. The devil can't lie to me and tell me I haven't been sanctified. He can't even lie to me and tell me I'm not good enough anymore. Yeah, I look at myself sometimes and say, Jeremiah, you can be better. But with the word of God and the light that I have, I don't even give the devil time to even try to put an ounce of condemnation on me. Matter of fact, you better look at me right. It'll be on you, so to speak, because I know who I am. I come in here. And maybe I don't have the best suit on, but you better not get caught in that.
No.
You better look beyond that.
Yeah.
You better look on the inside of the inside.
Yeah.
I got the light of the hour. I got the word. I got the full word on the scene. I know who I am. I know where I'm going. I walk with some confidence, not with arrogance. I always like to say, but with confidence.
Right.
Because I know what I got. The book's been open.
Yes.
It's not closed anymore.
No.
I'm not probing. I'm not having to guess. I actually can see the bride of Jesus Christ fully.
Yeah.
I can see the masterpiece fully. I can see that she's been formed, that she's been built, and that the light came down to the body.
Yes.
Oh, it's a rejoicing hour. You talk about resting. I should be able to rest.
Amen.
To be able to look all the way back and really see I didn't have anything to do with that, and God built that thing perfectly.
Yeah.
And here I am just up here as a recipient of God coming down with an open book and said, let me show you what I've been doing this whole entire time.
Yeah.
I ain't working like that anymore. I'm working for Jesus, doing the job I'm supposed to be doing. But I ain't trying to build a body or get a bunch of people saved or try to work this thing up. I see it's already been done. It's already been completed. So thank God he's done this work, and thank God he's given us the full word. Thank God he's given us the full revelation of the hour.
Amen.
I see where I'm going.
Yes, sir.
The bride knows what to do with the word.
That's right.
She sees where she's going. When I leave here today, and if time lasts, and I go to work tomorrow, I'm not going to go wondering if I'm carrying God or wondering if I can somebody treats me if they treat God right. I know those things. I'm going with authority. I'm going with commission. I'm going with knowing that some people, the only God they're going to see is right here.
Amen.
Why is that? Because headship's come down to the body. Full light is on the scene. We're not stumbling around in darkness now. We can see clearly where we're going. I enjoyed that, Brother James. Come on, musicians. Let's sing a song. I want to sing All Is Well. I know it's key of G. We'll find a page number here. It's page 106. All is well, people. All things do work together for the good. You know, there used to be a time where the devil would even try to say, well, if you don't live good enough, you're going to hold up the rapture. You ain't holding up the rapture. You realize there will not, he will not lose one. We won't even get out of here until the last one comes in. The hat will be in the right place. He's not going to lose one. All is well. Just rest, little bride. All is well. Yes, all is well. We have heard the message, Shalom, and all is well. We're there now. Beyond the inner veil. So rest, little bride, rest, for all is well. Sing it again. Yes, all is well.
Yes, I am. You're dismissed.